God is good. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to teach on something I never taught on before. It may be, I may have alluded to it and dealt with it in some of my books. I believe Secret Place. But I wanted to touch on it tonight. Genesis chapter 1. First one says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Amen. Now, I want to talk about today the darkness of God. We know the Bible says that God is light. Amen. And but we only understand that from a white light perspective. You know, when we think of light, we think of the sun. You know, we think of the brightness. But there's two types of light. There's white light, and there's ultraviolet or dark light. Amen. Now, I want you to see something. So on the first day, he said, let there be light. And God divided the light from the darkness, and he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Okay? Now, if you go down to around the fourth day, verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let there be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to provide the light from the darkness, divide the light from the darkness. And God saw it, and it was good. The evening and the morning was the fourth day. My question to you tonight is, the light that we know was made on the fourth day. What was the light that was made on the first day? See, the sun, the moon, the stars, and the created things that give light was made on the fourth day. And we have the same verbiage there. Light, darkness, divided it, day, night. But on the first day, he said, let there be light. And the Bible says that he saw it and said it was good. And it said that he divided the night from the day. Then we have a repeat of this, but it's the actual creation of what we know to be light. So my question is, what was the light on the first day? Because he didn't say, I made the stars, the moon, and the sun on the first day. That's what we want to talk about tonight. What was that light? Well, the light, watch this. First, we have the first time the Trinity is mentioned. First one, in the beginning God, we have the Father. Verse 2, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We have the Holy Spirit. Verse 3, and God said, Jesus is the Word of God. Verse 1 is the Father. Verse 2 is the Spirit. Verse 3 is the Son. So when teaching people about the Holy Trinity, the first three verses of the Bible reveal it. But getting back to the subject matter, when the Bible says that God said, let there be light, and there was light, and he saw the light, and it was good, and he divided the light from the darkness. Look at verse 5. If you guys got the King James Version, I want you to see something. And God called the light day, is capitalized. And the darkness he called night, is capitalized. You're not going to find that in another translation. This is why I deal with the King James Version. It's capitalized. Because there was a difference in the light that appeared on the first day and the light that was created on the fourth day. The light that appeared on the first day was the revealing of Jesus. That's why it's capitalized. Amen. Because God said it. And when God speaks, it's the word of God. And the first thing we have recorded God saying is, let there be light. This was not the creation of Jesus, because he is not a created being. He's eternal, one with the Father and Spirit since eternity past. This was his revealing. Amen. And so when he said, let there be light, and that light is different than the lights that were created on the fourth day, the Bible says, the entrance of thy word gives light. We have the entrance of God's word, and it was light. Are you with me? So the first day was the revelation of Jesus, and we didn't even know it. But the King James, see, look at this. The King James capitalized it. So that's one thing. The other thing is night and, look at verse 5. And God called the light day, capitalized. And the darkness he called night, capitalized. What we're going to talk about tonight is, we don't understand the night or darkness of God. See, light, there's two forms of light. There's bright light, and then there's dark light. I want you to see something. Psalms 139:12. Let's go there right quick. It reads, yea, the darkness hides not from thee, but the night, look at this, the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Lord have mercy. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. See, we have categorized, because the Bible said God is light. See, and it has other scriptures that talks about darkness, but you need to read the prophetic books to understand the darkness of God. If you read the first chapter of Genesis, every day begins in the dark. In the evening, in the morning was the first day. God always starts in the dark, because the light and the darkness are the same to God. Let's look at this again. Yea, the darkness hides not from thee, but the night shines as the day. How can the night shine as the day unless the night is a light? See, and so when you begin to, as the introduction into the dark, the darkness of God, or the night of God, however you want to word it, when, as you begin there, we already got to stop and pause and try to wrap our mind around that, because we just read that the Bible says here that the night shines as the day. You know why it shines? Because God made them both. We associate darkness with evil, Satan, and his kingdom. No. It's a created thing. People think that when there was nothing, there was darkness. Well, if there's nothing, there's nothing. See? People think, well, if you turn off the lights, there's only darkness. No, 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 no. Darkness had to be created like everything else. When there's nothing, there's nothing. So darkness had to be created just like light had to be created. But what I love about this, he said the night shines as the day. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How when you begin to understand the darkness of God, which is his deepness, that's the other side of God that the church don't deal with, because we keep dealing with God from a superficial, shallow perspective, when the Holy Ghost is here to bring us into the deep. You know what Jesus told Peter? When he first came upon him, he said, cast your net to the deep. You know where the deep is, sister? That's where the harvest of the fish is. You know why he told you get out that building? Because that's the shallow. There's no harvest there. Come outside them four walls, and I'm going to take you to the deep. I'm going to take you right to the schools where the homosexuality and transgender and perversion is at its highest, and I'm going to have you pouring oil when nobody's around there and prophesying and speaking the word up. I'm going to bring you to the deep because that's where the harvest is. See? And we got to get ready and get acclimated for the darkness of God. We got to get ready and get acclimated for that which we have not known. Did he not say, I have not seen, ye have not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man that which I have prepared for him. But I'm going to reveal it by my spirit. And when you allow the Holy Ghost in your life, he will begin to break all traditions, all religious structures, and bring you into the darkness of God. See? There's two kinds of lights. There's a bright light or white light, and then there's an ultraviolet dark light. Scientists have said that humans know less than 10% of what's in the deep, in the oceans, because we have not had the technology that can go there. And because it's so dark, how are you going to see it? Well, now they're able to at least begin to make submarines and different subterranean vehicles that can handle the pressure of going into the deep. That was the main problem. It was the pressure. See, and a lot of the citizens of the kingdom do not venture into the dark side of God, the deep things of God, because we don't want to go through. Now, it's going to cost you to get that revelation. It's going to cost you to reap the souls outside the four walls of the church. It's going to cost you to come out your comfort zone and stand and really live by faith. Because you know what? When we have ministries, and we're trying to get people to come in and disciple them and have our praise and worship and all that good stuff, we were teaching them about faith, but we had to live by faith. Because we was collecting tithes and offerings, and we knew where everybody worked and how much they paid, and we could determine and schedule our bills based off of who was there. So we was teaching them faith, but we weren't living it. But when you get out them four walls and ain't nobody giving but those that God put on their heart to give, now you out there in the deep, and that's where the pressure is. That's good, yeah. Amen. That's where the pressure is. And so now they have the vehicles that can go out there. And so it won't break under pressure now. But you can go out there and you're in the deep. But how are you going to see the marine life? Well, on the vehicles that can handle the pressure in the deep, they're able to turn on dark light, ultraviolet light. And so now you can go on YouTube and just type certain things in, and the organizations that are building these great vehicles to go out there now, once they get in the deep where no man have been before, they turn on dark light. And the dark light does not harm or alarm the creature that we've never seen since creation started. And they have pictures and video footage of some of the most astounding, amazing, terrifying looking creatures that's been in the deep all these years, but we never saw them. What am I trying to say? When we begin to venture into the dark side, the deepness of God, he's going to show you stuff ain't nobody ever touched. Amen. He's going to show you some stuff. You like, are you kidding me? I can't preach that stuff. Well, guess what? Deep calls unto deep. When he began to show you some stuff, it's only for the remnant that's paying the same price that you paying to go get that stuff. It ain't for everybody else. So now that you paying that price, now that you're going to meet people of the same kindred spirit, and you're going to be able to feed them and your revelation and bounce off their revelation, like, man, because see, everybody can't handle that. See, everybody don't want the darkness of God. Let's look at this. Isaiah 45:3. and I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by your name, I'm the God of Israel. He said, I will give you treasures of darkness and hidden riches. Guess what those treasures are? In the darkness. Guess what those riches are? Hidden. How you gonna get them? You gotta venture to the dark side of God. See, one more scripture. A couple more scripture. Psalms 18:11. Psalms 18:11. Look at this. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. The Bible said God made darkness his secret place. We just read, he said, I'm going to give you the treasures in the darkness. Mm-hmm. Psalms 91:1. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, somebody say secret place, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. See, that shadow is God's darkness. And God's darkness is the secret place. And the secret place is where the treasures are. Amen. Yeah. This is why most of my books say a revelation of. I'm not going to dare put a revelation of something on there, you can go find it in the bookstore. And you can find a local pastor teaching on it. I'll take it off of Amazon. But I've been in a deep place and I found some treasures. And I know for certain it's revelation. And I can say it. Amen. Amen. He that dwells in the secret place. Why aren't we dwelling in the secret place of the Most High? I'll tell you why, because we don't understand the shadow. Because the church and the world have conditioned the body of Christ that everything that's dark is evil and don't venture there. The reason why we don't evangelize the red light district is because that's Satan's territory. I thought you was the light. Amen. And see, sometimes God don't want you to shine that bright white light in certain dark areas because you will scare him away. So he needs you to get to come out of his darkness and get a revelation of the ultraviolet light. And just like the vehicles, they go into the deep so they won't scare the creatures away, they turn on the dark light. There's a dark light of God because he is light and light is bright and there's a dark light. We need a revelation of the dark light because it will give you the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding how to approach 24 karat devils with the gospel. You're not going to scare them away. He'll give you, the Bible says God will give us the tongue of the learned. He will show you how to blend in. He'll show you how to just walk up. He will give you the grace and that dark light. You still got his light. It's the same God. It's the same light. But he switched it so he can convert somebody. That's how God works. But we can't run from the darkness of God because that part of God is so mysterious and it's so deep. And see, it's going to cost you. You're going to have to turn over your plate. See, you're going to have to give up some friends. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to let go of some stuff. It's going to bring you down to your lowest common denominator. You're going to come to the end of yourself to get into the secret place. Because see, the secret place is the bedchamber, which is translated holies of holies. And only one person can go in there. You can't take your spouse in there with you. You can't take your family in there with you. You can't take your denomination in there with you. You can't take your church in there with you. You can only go there by yourself, and you got to come naked. See, that's where you sell out. That's where you give all to Christ. And that's when the Holy Ghost say, payment made, come on in. See, this ain't for the faint of heart. This ain't for the religious. See, this ain't for the ones that love having church and going to church and the next choir director and the next worship leader and who's gonna do this and who's gonna do that. It ain't about that. This is real ministry, a relationship and fellowship with a real God who is calling us into the secret place, calling us into his darkness, calling us into his depths so he can show us some great and mighty things that eye have not seen and ear have not heard and neither have entered into your heart. Amen. And when you get in there, let me tell you something, you're not going to ever want to leave. And you can get there at Aaron's age or Isaac's age if you want to pay the price. See, it's all up to you. He's bidding us to come. I like that. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Somebody say shadow. Look at this. The shadow is the darkness of God. Because what does light cast? A shadow. You can't have a shadow without light. This is the other side of light. Are you with me? Well, watch this. The secrets is not in the light. The brightness, the white light, the secrets is in the shadow. From the light. He said, I've given treasures in the dark place. See? The creatures we never seen in the ocean is in the dark place. It's in the deep place. That harvest, because Jesus said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. So when Peter cast his net into the deep and brought in so many that the net broke, it was a picture of the harvest of men that we can bring in because we chose to go into the deep. So the secret place is connected to the shadow. Guess where the shadow is? The Old Testament. The Old Testament is where the types and shadows of the New Testament reside. See, the secret place is found in the very books that our own apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are telling their congregants don't read. You know why they're telling them don't read it? Because they don't see Jesus in it. So they don't want you asking them about what they can't give you. But if they have paid the price and got in God's secret place, which is in the shadow, God, the Holy Ghost would have had you in the Old Testament, and every single Bible story in the Old Testament, you would have saw Jesus. He that dwells in a secret place will abide under the shadow. If you don't have a revelation of the shadow, you will never get God's secrets. And so this is why a revelation of praise, David and Goliath, because when the Holy Ghost took me to the secret place of that story, I was able to draw some revelation. See? Revelation of the kingdom. When the Holy Ghost took me to the secret place, when Jesus talking about the kingdom, I was getting what nobody else was getting. Amen. A revelation of Noah. Let's just talk about that, because the secret place is in the shadow, and the shadow is in the Old Testament. Are you with me? So let's look at this. God called Noah. The Bible says that Noah was a perfect and upright man. This does not mean that he was morally perfect. When you look it up in the Hebrew, it's the same Hebrew word for perfect and upright. It's the same Hebrew word that's used for sinless for the sacrificial lambs. It means spotless, see, without blemish. So Noah, as a type of Jesus, he was a fallen, the fallen stock of Adam, so he was by nature fallen. But because he would be a type, a shadow of Jesus, physically, he was physically perfect. He had no flaws physically. Are you with me? His nature was fallen, but because he was a shadow or a type of Jesus, his physical imperfection, because when on Passover, when you brought the lamb, it had to be spotless. And so as the priesthood would examine the lamb, if they didn't find any imperfections, it qualified for Passover. So physically, Noah was a picture of Jesus, who's getting ready to build the ark called the church, and he physically was perfect the way Jesus morally and spiritually would be perfect. Are you with me? But it's in the shadow. People don't read the Old Testament because they don't see Christ in the Old Testament. But he that dwells in the secret place will abide under the shadow. You get a revelation of the shadow, God will reveal the secrets. So he began to build an ark. Somebody say wood.
Wood.
See, wood is a central theme in the Bible. Because it was a tree that got us in trouble. And it was going to take a tree to get us out of trouble. So from the time that God put Adam and Eve in the garden and said, of all the trees of the garden, you may freely eat. But the tree that's in the midst of the garden, called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you cannot eat. The day that you eat, you should surely die. They ate, we died spiritually. And from that day forth, wood is now a central theme of redemption. And to prove it, now you got Noah, who's a type of Jesus, building an ark, which is a type of the church. Say, well, how is the ark a picture of the church? Didn't I, Jesus, say, take up your cross and follow me? You got to bring your wood. Amen. You got to bring, see, the cross is a picture of the crucifixion of the flesh. Jesus said, in order to follow me, he got to die. Amen. So I want to get into that. So now he's building an ark. For over 100 years, he's building an ark. And the Bible says specifically that on the inside of the ark, he made rooms. And the Bible says that he pitched those rooms that the animals would live in. The Bible said he pitched them within and without. Pitch is the same Hebrew word used for atonement. Are you with me? Pitch means atonement. So the ark was not pitched, the rooms was pitched. The place where the animals would dwell was pitched. Mm-hmm. I'll get back to that in a second, because we're dealing with the secret place that's connected to the shadow. Say, well, if the rooms in the ark represent that which the saints, didn't I, Jesus, say, in my Father's house are many dwelling places? If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. This is Noah talking about the room that he got prepared for you. Say, well, why was animals, why was no one saved? The Bible said in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He didn't just build an ark and curse everybody else to die. He was preaching to these brothers. He was telling them, rain coming. God killing all flesh. I'm building this ark for you. Nobody got saved. But the ark was full of animals. Now we getting ready to go to that shadow, which is connected to the secret place. Why was Noah's ark full of animals? Because the animals represent how you and I look in our unregenerate state. Mm-hmm. That's why pastoring sometimes can be difficult, especially when we're dealing with the four walls of the church, because we don't even understand we're trying to minister to animals. That sounds kind of crude. Let me break it down. When Adam and Eve failed, they lost the image of God. The proof of this, God came down, killed an animal, and put the animal skins on them. Why did he do it? They could have did that themselves. He did it to show them, you no longer have my image. I'm giving you the new image that you fell into. That's the image of the beast. I'm getting ready to show you what you look like. This is the nature you're walking in now. This is the personality you're walking in now. This is the image that you're beholden of now. And to piggyback on that, this is why the ark was full of animals. Because when we fail, we receive the nature and image of the beast. So God used as a shadow, as a type, to symbolize those who would get a born again in the New Testament, the ark was full of every kind of animal, because in our fallen, unregenerate state, that's what we look like to God. See? And that because we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. The heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? We're animals. Amen. We live like dogs. See? We act like hyenas and lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. See, we're animals. That's the nature that we have. We have that carnivorous flesh, old ways that we have. God said, no, that's what you look like. You no longer have my spirit. You no longer have my image. You no longer have my nature. So he allowed the animals to come into the ark, because it was a picture of us today and our fallen, unregenerate state coming into the church. That's why the Bible says, when I save you, I'm going to take your stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. See, the ark was full of animals because that's what you and I look like. God says there's still, that's why he said you must be born again. As you're born again, you give up that carnal nature for his nature. You give up that image of the beast for the image of his dear son. Amen. And so on the ark, there was two kind of animals. There was clean and unclean. Seven sets of clean, two sets of unclean. Amen? Well, how does that fit? Because the clean, even though they were still animals, represented the Jews. They were clean because they was in covenant with God, but they were still animals because the Messiah hadn't come. I'm going to say that again. The clean animals represented the Jews. They were clean because they was in covenant with God, but they were still animals because they were still unregenerate. The unclean animals represented the Gentiles who were not in covenant with God. So you have the clean and the unclean on the ark, and it's a picture of today of Jew and Gentile who's on God's ark called the church. He that dwells in the secret place will abide under the shadow. And as ministers of the gospel, if we don't understand the shadow, which is in the Old Testament, we would never get the secrets of God. Amen? Now, somebody say shadow. As I am. One day, Hezekiah was getting ready to die. And he began to cry out to God to give him more years. God said, you know what? I'll do that. What I was going to do to you, I'll just save it for your son. I'm going to give you 15 more years. Hezekiah didn't really believe him, so he said, well, I need a sign. Can you give me a sign that you're going to do this, Lord? Because I know my life was getting ready to end. He said, tell you what, the sundial, his hand is going to go back 10 degrees. Now, let me explain. They didn't have a Rolex and Timex watches back then. So they used an ancient form of telling time called the sundial. So the scientists understood they would build a stone round sundial. And from the shadow that the sun would cast, you can't have a shadow without light. So depending on the positioning of the sun, because it rises in the east and sets in the west, they had the stone dial in a particular spot. And as the sun, depending on its position, cast its shadow, it told you what time of day it was. Are you with me? Now watch this. He that dwells in a secret place shall abide under the shadow. Without the shadow, you can't get the secrets of God. Now watch this. In the Old Testament, they didn't know what time it was. Somebody say time.
Time.
Did he say that the sons of Issachar would know the times and season? They did not know daily what time it was. Until they looked at where the shadow fell on the sundial. The shadow is how we know what time we living in. The shadow. The understanding of the revelation of the shadow gives us revelation of what time and season we are in today. See, any prophetic voice that don't understand the Old Testament cannot truly prophesy in your life or to the nation's life, because the shadow is how you tell the time. Amen. So Hezekiah, God told Hezekiah, okay, I'll give you a sign. I don't normally do this, but on your sundial, when the shadow casts down, it's going to go backwards. Somebody say backwards.
Backwards.
Where's the shadow found in the Bible? Backwards. Are you with me? Now, this is the revelation. He said it's going to go backwards. 10. 10 is the number of the law. 10 commandments. The shadow went backwards because the Old Testament is the going backwards. That's where the 10 commandments are. And that's where the shadow is. Now watch this. He told Hezekiah, the sign that I'm going to heal you. Somebody say, heal me. Healing is in the shadow, which is going backwards to the Old Testament. What am I trying to say? You would never fully comprehend what you have in the New Testament without the shadow, the revelation of the shadow in the Old Testament. I can prove it to you. I can prove to you that the shadow is where the healing is. One day after Jesus was resurrected and went back to heaven, and the day of Pentecost had come, and the church was thrived, and one day, the Bible says in the book of Acts, that they brought all the sick and the lame into the streets, that Peter's shadow would just hit them and heal them. Wow. Healing is in the shadow. Amen. And what's the shadow? The shadow is the dark part of the light. Because there's two types of light, white light and dark light. God is ready to reveal the dark part of God, the secrets of God, the hidden things of God. That's where the treasures are. Amen. That's where the hidden wisdom is. And that's where you will be equipped to heal the land.
Amen.
Glory be to God. That's where you will be equipped to reap the harvest. It's in the deep place. Ask Peter. The harvest was in the deep place. The healing was in the shadow that goes backwards. Everybody going to Bible school and getting all these degrees and couldn't show you Jesus in the Old Testament to save their life.
Wow.
Because the healing is in the shadow. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God is getting ready to reveal to the remnant, to those who are sold out. They're getting ready to show us the dark part of God, the ultraviolet light part of God. And so that we can shine our light, but we won't be like the rest of the church that's shining the light and only quoting scripture of judgmentalism, only quoting scripture condemning people, only quoting scripture showing that you're exclusive and you're not being inclusive. But he's getting ready to show you the dark light, the ultraviolet light, that when you show up, the devil don't even know you there until you break his back. He's getting ready to show you the dark light, that you will be camouflaged and go right where the devil is, right where the enemy is, right where the harvest is, and cast that net like Peter did and bring it on in, because we'll have a revelation of the darkness of God.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for your word.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we love you, we honor you, we cherish you, we adore you, we bless you. You are Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now the Spirit is Lord. Father God, we bless you for the teacher, the comforter, the counselor, the lead, the guide. You sent him here that he will lead and guide us into all truth. He is the one that beckons us into the dark place of God. He's the one that pulls at our heart to show us the treasures and bring us into the bedchamber and the secret place of God. And we honor you tonight, Holy Ghost. And I pray right now that our hearts are on fire right now to get into your word, to lay before you, to pay whatever price that's necessary so that we can reap this end time harvest, so that we can walk not just in your white light, but your dark light. Your secrets, your treasures, In the name of Jesus, we bless you and we give you all praise, glory, honor in Jesus' name. Amen.